Welcome to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness, American Readiness Program. I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome our new listeners to the show and let you know what you're in for. Common Sense Preparedness was designed to give the American public the much-needed information on how to manage and respond to any type of disaster we might face, natural, man-made, or personal. We will not tell you who to vote for or when the world is going to end, but we will get you ready to face that if it does happen. We will talk about first aid, CPR, tornadoes, earthquakes, how to prepare a family emergency plan, how to develop an emergency communication plan, how to hunt, how to fish, how to make a fire. This show will be hosted by myself, Tim Howard, and various guests from around the world who will share their information and their experiences with us. My credentials? They're pretty extensive, with over 25 years field experience as a chemical biological warfare instructor, a firefighter, an area safety manager, a safety inspector. I have been associated with various federal, state, and local governments. Currently, I'm associated with the FEMA think tank, OSHA field councils, and I am your host for the show. Before we go any further, any information that you hear on this program or find on hesafety.org or the radio website at csp.hesafety.org is to be taken as informational only. We are not legal or medical advisors. We are here to get you to think about things and get you to do your own research. Talk with your professional legal and medical advisors. Because in the end, it's all common sense anyway, which you have. Otherwise, you wouldn't be listening to the show. Common Sense Preparedness website, csp.hesafety.org, has been designed to give you more information about subjects than we can give you in a single broadcast. The website is free, so come on by and begin your research with Common Sense Preparedness. You can also listen or download previous shows via the website. I do ask you to sign up, though. Reason being, it's just so I can judge how well the show is doing. Also, please, show some love to our sponsors. They're the ones that keep the show and the websites free of charge. At the end of the day, it all comes down to this: how many lives we save. It is sad to hear of any life being lost when it was avoidable. Remember, a wise man prepares for the darkness while a fool plays. Don't get caught playing. Tune into Common Sense Preparedness at csp.hesafety.org.
Welcome to Common Sense Preparedness with your host, Megan Bob, and Howard.
Welcome to Common Sense Preparedness Weekly Situation Report for the week of April 8th, 2012. Let's go ahead into our environmental report. U.S. radiation monitor is looking normal. Higher than normal background radiation levels are located at Philadelphia this week. Our river report. We still got some minor flooding in the Texas, Louisiana, and now Arkansas border area. Our air quality is looking good. Our drought report. Texas, Georgia, and Arizona are reporting exceptional drought conditions, and Florida and South Carolina are reporting extreme drought conditions. Now, our food safety report, we still have two jalapeno recalls for salmonella. That's the loose jalapeno peppers and the fresh jalapeno peppers. Club Chef is doing a recall for salmonella in the Midwest. We still have a hepatitis A alert for Alabama due to a McDonald's restaurant in Northport, Alabama. Private Selection, Kroger brand, is having a salmonella recall in the Midwest. Sysco Prime Beef Patties is having a recall for E. coli in Arizona, Colorado, Texas, and Washington. A food safety recall for PGP International Incorporated out of Wisconsin. They're recalling their whey protein isolate 90% and whey protein hydrolysate at 90% because these products may be contaminated with salmonella. A food safety alert was issued this week. A total of 93 individuals became infected with an outbreak strain of salmonella. They have been reported from 19 states and the District of Columbia, and this may be due to sushi. We also had an food safety alert for botulism in New York State due to fresh bulk tofu. Another outbreak alert. The Center of Disease Control is reporting 3 overlapping multi-state outbreaks of salmonella infection. These are linked to exposure to small turtles or their environments. 66 people in 16 states have been infected with one of the outbreak strains. Common Sense Preparedness would like to remind you, food safety is up to you. Make sure you cook your food to over 140 degrees and you keep it cold under 40 degrees. And when you're dining out, check the restaurant's last inspection from your local Board of Health Department. CSP.HESafety.org has links posted on its website for all state health departments and links to your local health department. Now, our Homeland Security report. We had a report of why there is a TSA. Someone tried to hide a knife in a jar of mayonnaise at New York's Kennedy Airport this week. Now, first of all, the mayo violates the 3-ounce rule. And why would you put a knife in a mayo jar? Why not just check the baggage? When we have people like this who do stupid things, there's a reason we have TSA. And I know they get a bad rap, but there's a reason for TSA. Our medical report. We still have a whooping cough. Pertussis is now nationwide. We have a drug-resistant influenza in Delaware. Influenza could lead to pandemics, and if it's drug-resistant, they're going to have a hard time controlling it. Also in the drug-resistant area, we have a drug-resistant malaria showing up in Southeast Asia. This one could be very dangerous. Malaria will kill you in a heartbeat. The current hand, foot, and mouth disease is now nationwide. Alabama, Connecticut, California, Nevada are reporting cases. Predominantly affects children under 5 years old. Common Sense Preparedness would like to remind you the best way to prevent the flu this year is to wash your hands as often as possible. Please check our webpage for more flu prevention and treatment ideas. Now, our seismic report. There's been 7,021 recordable seismic events in the past 30 days. Top news this week, Mexico experienced another major earthquake, this time at a 6.3. Oklahoma experienced a 4.0 earthquake. This is stronger than usual seismic event for that area, which could mean we could expect even stronger vibrations in this area. The New England region was quiet this week. The Mid-Atlantic region, Virginia, had a 2.5. North Carolina had a 2.2, and Georgia had a 2.0. In the Caribbean region, the U.S. Virgin Islands came in with a 3.7. The Midwest region, Oklahoma, had a 4.0, as we spoke about before, and Arkansas had a 2.2. The Yellowstone region, Montana, had a 2.4, and Wyoming had a 2.3. Now, the Rocky Mountain region, Utah, had a 3.4, and Colorado had a 2.8. The Northwest region, Oregon, had a 4.4, and Washington had a 2.6. The Ring of Fire region, California, had a 3.5, Alaska a 4.6, and Hawaii with a 3.0. Our volcanic report, we're showing some increased activity in Alaska and in Vanuatu. That is an island region off the Australian coast. Now, our solar report, our X-ray levels are at a C3. That's up from a B7 of last week. The K-index remains at 4. The X-class flares are at 5%. And our geomagnetic storms are 25% of storms. Our NEOs, we have 1,287 near-Earth objects. And April 19th is our next one with NEO 2007 HV4. And that should come within 4.8 lunar distance of Earth, weighing in at about 8 meters. If you'd like any more information on anything you've heard in this report, please go to csp.hesafety.org.
You're listening to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness, an American readiness program, right here on the Prepper Radio Network, KPRN-DB.
This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Health Operation Team, preparing one person, one community, one country at a time. providing awareness, education, training, resources, and medical support, health care, and emergency preparedness planning, both domestic and international. Please go to their website at www.hoteam.org, hotteam.org, and see where they have been, where they are, and where they're going. Or give them a call at 678-431-8914. Once again, that is 678-431-8914. And let them know you heard it on Common Sense Preparedness. Also, follow them on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. That's hotteam.org, your source for helping individuals, families, businesses, and communities be safer and healthier.
Common Sense Preparedness brought to you in part by PatriotMusic.com.
America has known the world over for its passion for freedom and individual rights. If you love your country as much as I do, and if you'd like to hear great music inspiring this passion, check out PatriotMusic.com. Download music from three great albums, including a new album just released, with a cover you won't forget. PatriotMusic.com.
Hi, this is Matt Fitzgibbons with PatriotMusic.com. You're listening to Common Sense Preparedness with Tim Howard.
This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Rocky Mountain Survival Gear, your complete source for all things camping and prepping. They recognize the need of many people in the United States struggling to put together survival packs, not knowing where to start or what they need. So Rocky Mountain Survival Gear will be offering customized bug-out bags, emergency kits, and 72-hour bags to fit your specific needs. All you need to do is click on the items you need, and they'll put it together for you. Remember, once a disaster strikes, it's too late to prepare, so prepare now for the future with Rocky Mountain Survival Gear. Contact them at www.rockymountainsurvivalgear.com or give them a call at 720-244-9701. Once again, that's 720-244-9701.
You're listening to AT Safety's Common Sense Preparedness, an American readiness program, right here on the Prepper Radio Network, KPRN-DB.
I got a chance the other day to take a look at the 7-day, 2-person emergency kit from Health Operations Team. This kit is a great basic starter kit. While it does not contain all the emergency supplies that you'll need during a prolonged disaster, it has enough supplies to ensure that you will survive any 7-day disaster. That's why it's called a basic starter kit. The first thing I noticed was the versatility of the bag. It can be used as a backpack, carried by the handle, by the shoulder strap. It even has wheels on it, so if you need to roll it, you can. The food package and water supplies make the kit kind of heavy, but these are basic requirements, and there's no way of getting around this weight. That's one of the reasons physical conditioning is a requirement in any kind of preparedness plan. Now, everything in the kit is stored in plastic Ziploc bags for weatherproofing protection. First idea I got in my head was, it showed me that I can use it, this weatherproofing idea, for other items. I mean, even a radio came in a plastic bag. The kit comes with a standard first aid kit, hygiene products, rain ponchos, light sticks, rope, and even a pry bar, just to name a few items in the bag. So it has a lot of equipment in there that you do need, some basic equipment. You're going to want to modify it to your family's needs. If your family needs medication, you're going to want to put the family medication in there, extra eyeglasses and such. Health Operations Team has a complete listing of all the items contained in the kit on their website at hoteam.org. Now, the price on the kit is unbeatable, $130, while all other outlets charge a minimum of $199, $200 for similar kits. Health Operations Team is offering these kits at cost with zero profit margin. What a deal. But what I want to remind you is Health Operations is a nonprofit organization. If you can show them any kind of love, please do so. Even if it's a dollar, they need the help. They need the money. So they can go ahead and give these kits to people who are in need, who really need them. Now, some of the items in the kit that I would recommend to change, one would be the radio and the flashlight. Both of them are items that use batteries to operate with. I would exchange them for solar hand-cranked items. I mean, there's no reason to carry the extra weight of the batteries. There's nowhere to recharge them or anything like that. They're good for the home cache, but if you have to use it as a bug-out bag, I'd have solar equipment with me. Now, the coloring book and crayons, that's another thing I'd probably be changing. Now, if you have a kid that's less than 5, it's a great distraction for them. For the older kids, this is where we want to customize the bag for ourselves. We have older kids, we want to put some other stuff in there. However, it does have a deck of cards for adult distractions. Both the food packs and the water packs are edible, trust me. Now, granted, I'm a very picky eater. It's not my preferred food of choice, but in an emergency, well, I know I can eat them and get my calories that I need. They are edible. Overall, I was pleased with the starter kit. The price was great, and they'll get you through any type of emergency. So I'm recommending that if you need a kit, contact hoteam.org, and they will be able to get you one. Now, they have a special price program available for disadvantaged and the elderly. So when you talk to them, let them know what you're doing and who you are, and that you heard it on the radio show, and see if you qualify for a discounted program. But even if you don't qualify, it's still a bargain at $130. So contact Health Operations Team at www.hoteam.org. Or you can call their Georgia phone number at 678-431-8914. Once again, that number is 678-431-8914. All right, let's go ahead and talk a little bit about supplies. You know, supplies are one of the greatest assets during any type of Black Swan event. The type of supplies and how you travel with them become very important. When most people talk about supplies, they almost always start to dive into the items that you need to make up your emergency supply list. Now, there are so many recommendations out there that it's just mind-boggling. Almost everyone forgets the basics of supplies and caching. What supplies you have is a decision that you must base on your group and your group's needs. Now, there's some basic items that you'll need, like water and food. But what special type of food or special equipment, like the type of tents or a can opener, etc., that's all going to be solely up to who is in your group and what their needs are. Now, your supplies should be gathered into 3 things: kits, packs, and caches. We'll explore all 3 of these areas in more detail. In order to limit the amount of equipment and supplies that you will need to purchase, items from other kits, packs, and caches should be used together. Now, what I mean by that is, let's say you have a can opener in your backpack. Well, that can opener can be used for your shelter-in-place kit if you have a bug-out situation. So you don't need to buy 3 different can openers. Just one will suffice. Now, kits. Kits are items that are stored in boxes or chests. These kits are readily accessible and mobile. These kits can be stored inside or outside your home, and they are transported by a vehicle usually. Now, some of the kits you would like to take a look at, shelter-in-place kit or SIP kit. The SIP kit is a kit that you will use for most emergencies. It will also be the first kit that you use in long-term Black Swan events. Now, a camp kit. This kit is a mobile shelter kit. It should contain all items that you'll need to build a temporary campsite. Sanitation kit. This kit contains all items you'll need for cleaning, bathing, and building latrines. Now, important one here is your command kit. Your command kit will be your command center equipment, radios, maps, reference books, etc. Then a weapons kit. This kit will contain all items that you'll need for your weaponry. Portable reloading systems or gun cleaning supplies, stuff like that. Also, there should be a tool kit. This will be all the tools you'll need in an emergency situation. Crowbars, hammers, mallets, etc. Now, your bug-out vehicle kit, which is your emergency go bag in your car, or BOV kit, this kit should contain all the equipment you will need to evacuate in your car. Flares, blankets, screwdrivers, water, etc. Also, a medical kit. Now, this is going to be your main medical supply kit during any Black Swan event. This kit should contain the items that you would need beyond your basic first aid or trauma care kits, or packs. This is where you have your sutures, your scalpels, IV bags, oxygen tanks would be in your medical kit. Now, the second area were packs. Packs are storage containers that can be carried on a person's body. Number one, your go kit or your backpack. Now, this should be used as your bug out bag. Everything that you want to take during a bug out situation should be in this bag and kept there readily accessible. It should also be easy to carry and able to have all items attached to it. One of the items you want to attach to is a trauma pack. This pack should contain items that would be used for immediate trauma situations, band-aids, dressings, compressions, stitches, etc. Now, I want to make a distinction here. A trauma pack and a first aid kit are a little bit different. Your trauma pack is for emergency use. Example, you got a gunshot victim or a car accident. You want to use your trauma pack. Where your first aid kit will be used more for your family's minor cuts and abrasions. Now, another pack you want to look into is a pack or a navigation pack. This is your navigation equipment, compass, field maps, GPS units, etc. Your fire pack, your fire starter kit, if you want to call it that. This should contain the equipment needed to start a fire, waterproof matches, magnesium starters, fire starters, etc. And then your communications pack or a comms pack. This pack should contain equipment you need to communicate or monitor equipment. Weather radio, two-way radio system, signal and mirrors, etc. Another one that you want to keep and have readily available is what they call a sewing pack. This pack should be your basic sewing kit. Just enough items to get you through a 7 to 10 day Black Swan event, because after the 10 day event, if you still need to do some kind of sewing, you're going to have to acquire more sewing equipment on your own. Now, your weapons pack. This pack should be all your weapons equipment that you'll need on your person. Ammunition, wipes for cleaning the lenses, a small gun cleaning kit. Another one that you should be carried on your backpack is called a fishing pack. This pack will be your basic fishing tackle box. Nothing fancy, just something small, and you can attach to your backpack without a lot of weight. Maybe 2 or 3 lures, a couple sinkers, some bobbers, and hooks. And that's about it. All your more in-depth, fancy lures and sinkers and all that, they should be stored in your camp kit. Now, your hunting pack. This is the equipment that you're going to need to prepare animal kills in the wild. String, knives, hangers, etc. And that should be able to be put in your backpack. Now, the third area we want to talk about is caches. These are the items that are stored in home shelters or at a strategic location. Caches can be your cupboard, garage, or buried at your emergency evacuation points. Some of the caches you want to take a look at, one would be your shelter food cache. This cache should be located in your home shelter and just be an extra supply of food items that you use every day. You should have extra food on hand for up to 30 days. Example of this would be ketchup. If you use a bottle of ketchup every 2 weeks, then you want to have 2 on hand in your cupboard. This would go for all the items that you use. Now, your spices cache. This cache is located in your home's cache supply or your shelter in place kit. Now, this spice cache does not have to be in depth. I know for my family, we use 5 different spices on a constant and regular basis. So those 5 spices would be my spice cache. You have to take a look at your family. What do you use the most of? That's part of your spice cache. Now, the next cache that we want to talk about is shelter chemicals. These are the chemicals that you identify as being useful in a Black Swan event. Bleach, ammonia, charcoal. The list goes on and on and on. But what do you desperately need in an emergency? Ammonia, bleach, Don't let those two mix. So you want to keep them separated. But you want to have them on hand for all kinds of reasons. Chlorine, that's another one. And that'll all be part of your chemical cache. Now my recommendation on this one is, let's say you keep the bleach inside your house and the ammonia outside in your garage. It's still part of your chemical cache. They don't have to be stored at the same location. They can be separated in different locations. They just need to be easily accessible during an emergency. Now your weapons cache. This cache should be your weapons itself. And the cache can be on or off site. It does not have to be always in the house. I know from me personally, my weapons cache is off site. In an emergency, I can get to it within 3 minutes. And another cache would be your ammo cache. Now this cache is for all your ammunition. So if you have 3 different types of weapons, you would need 3 different types of ammunition. It should comprise of multiple caches, just in case 1 or 2 are not retrievable when the time comes. So what I mean by that is, let's say you have your main home cache in your garage or by your weapons. Then maybe I put one at my evacuation point buried, and maybe another one buried at my other evacuation point, and maybe a third somewhere else. This way, in a black swan event, if I can't get to either one of those evacuation points, I do still have ammunition I can get at a third location. So it should be 3 different locations.
You're listening to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness, an American Readiness Program, right here on the Prepper Radio Network, KPRN-DB. Common Sense Preparedness brought to you in part by PatriotMusic.com.
Hi, this is Matt Fitzgibbons from PatriotMusic.com. I'm proud to announce the release of a new CD of original rock that celebrates individual liberty and the principles that made our republic great. Come give a listen to the award-winning music. There are free videos, radio, TV, and podcast interviews, and an album cover I promise you'll be thinking about for years. And don't forget to check out the Take Action section where you can share your ideas on how to put America back on track. PatriotMusic.com.
This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Health Operation Team, preparing one person, one community, one country at a time, providing awareness, education, training, resources, and medical support, health care, and emergency preparedness planning, both domestic and international. Please go to their website at www.hoteam.org, hotteam.org, and see where they have been, where they are, and where they're going. Or give them a call at 678-431-8914. Once again, that is 678-431-8914. And let them know you heard it on Common Sense Preparedness. Also, follow them on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. That's hotteam.org, your source for helping individuals, families, businesses, and communities be safer and healthier.
Emergencies happen every day. Are you prepared for a crisis? HE Safety can help. Together we'll prepare for natural and man-made disasters, medical emergencies, extreme weather, and other safety-related issues. It all happens on the Common Sense Preparedness Show, hosted by Tim Howard of HE Safety Consultants.
A song from Matt Fitzgibbon to PatriotMusic.com.
Out in the woods, west of Pittsburgh is home. Since my granddaddy's days, it left us alone. We lived on the river where we made panther's breath till the marshal brought death. We had fought for your freedom from here to the east. We cleaned out the Tories until the land was at peace. And we picked off the redcoats with our frontiersmen aim. Then the taxman came. that they paid for the war with a tax on corn whiskey distilled from us poor. That we needed some master to keep us in awe, so they declared martial law. We farmers decided we'd stick together, so we covered some tax men with tar and with feathers. General Washington headed the army again with 13,000 men. While the gallows are built, and it seems that my country is feeling some guilt. They say we've been pardoned, now their point has been made. But you should be afraid.
Items we're going to buy, it's got to be overwhelming. And I know everyone's tight on budgets. Times are tough all over the place. So let's take a look at how to get supplies on a budget. Here are some ideas to explore to cut your equipment purchases in half, if not more. What you want to do is go ahead and search garage sales and flea markets. At garage sales and flea markets, new and used merchandise of all types is available at very low cost. All sorts of stuff are available at garage sales, offering greater value than for items that you'll find in the store. Now, if you're looking for something in particular, flea markets is probably where you'll find it. They have much more vendors, and they're more likely to be offering so much stuff that you'll find a specific thing that you're looking for. Now, a little trick about garage sales. When you go to a garage sale, it's best to look slightly impoverished. By appearing that you have limited funds, which you probably do anyway, you can gain the advantage in haggling a price. One of the keys is to save money. However, still maintain an average appearance, because if you look strange, it sometimes will leave people with a negative impression, reducing your ability to haggle. You can find yard sales just by driving around your neighborhood or checking the local classified ads of the newspaper or your local supermarket bulletin boards. While you can't really tell if a garage sale is good or not, the ones described as multifamily are usually the best. They offer the most stuff. Now, when you go to a flea market, your buying ability relies a lot less on appearance. But you must make the people who are selling think that what they're selling isn't worth a lot. In such a case, try to avoid looking like an authority or anything. If you do, the seller might assume it's worth a lot more than what he's selling it for and be less willing to haggle. The best time to go to a flea market depends on whether you're looking for something specific or you're just looking for bargains. If you're looking for something specific, go in the mornings when they have all their stuff there and they haven't sold it off. And if you're looking for a bargain, go towards the end of the day or at closing time. Haggling becomes a lot easier then, as the seller doesn't really want to pack it all up in their truck. I know for me, I picked up a weight set one time for $25 because the person didn't want to put it back in their vehicle. and it was a full weight, universal weight set. Now, another place you want to go to is gun shows. Gun shows are specialized flea markets which offer great value on items. As the name implies, a gun show is a flea market that offers firearms, military surplus, and other related merchandise. Saving money by purchasing used firearms in good condition, discount ammo, and related equipment has obvious advantages to the survivalist. Clothing. If you're looking for clothing, great savings can be made by shopping in used clothing thrift stores. Another good thing about thrift stores and Salvation Army stores is that the money you spend is used for a worthwhile charity. Other great prices for clothing is at your local military surplus store. Here, you can get rugged duffel bags and day packs, which last longer than the civilian stuff made. Your local department store usually has clearance sales and such. Better than average savings can be had by buying clearance items in some department stores. This is what they do to merchandise that has been discontinued for various reasons. All of this stuff's in new condition, but the store has to get rid of it. Just about everything and anything can be put on clearance, from clothes to houseware to appliances. So shop your clearance sales. Now, if you're looking for home appliances, for savings on home appliances and other high-priced items, check out the store's scratch and dent room. I know some of the major chain stores now have a specific store. They call it an outlet store for this kind of items. And these outlet stores is where you can find discounted items that have suffered minor physical damage, such as a scratch or a dent on a cabinet. But the function of the device is unhampered or still the same. A lot of demo items go here, too. So, you know, you might not be able to pick up the box and documentation and stuff like that, but you'll still get the item that you're looking for at a very discounted price. Another avenue to find good, cheap bargains at is going out of business sales. Keep an eye open for places that are going out of business. I've seen places sell everything at 75% and more off, particularly on the last day of business. They just want to get rid of that stuff. It's all going to be a tax write-off anyway. Also, we want to look at dumpster diving. It often pays to take a walk around the neighborhood on trash day. You'd be surprised on the perfectly usable or easily fixed stuff people throw away. Your best bet are influenced neighborhoods where people don't have the repair skills or the attitude that they have is throw it away and buy something new. You can pick up all kinds of stuff, household appliances, household goods at this dumpster diving. Behind stores. Stores throw away a lot of stuff, too.
You're listening to AT Safety's Common Sense Preparedness, an American readiness program, right here on the Prepper Radio Network, KPRN-DB.
This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Health Operation Team, preparing one person, one community, one country at a time, providing awareness, education, training, resources, and medical support, healthcare and emergency preparedness planning, both domestic and international. Please go to their website at www.hoteam.org, hotteam.org, and see where they have been, where they are, and where they're going. Or give them a call at 678-431-8914. Once again, that is 678-431-8914. And let them know you heard it on Common Sense Preparedness. Also, follow them on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. That's hotteam.org, your source for helping individuals, families, businesses, and communities be safer and healthier. This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Pure Hydration Water Purification Systems. Rocky Mountain Survival Gear is now the sole U.S. distributor of Pure Hydration Water Purification Systems, which uses no chemicals, has no wait time, and can be filled from any natural water source. The purifier eliminates pathogens, viruses, bacteria, chemicals, heavy metals, fecal matter, sediment, bad taste, and odors, and quickly turns potentially contaminated water into safe and clean drinking water. Pure Hydration offers their purifiers in 6 different personal carrier modules for every outdoor endeavor. For more information, contact Rocky Mountain Survival Gear at www.rockymountainsurvivalgear.com.
or give them a call at 720-244-9701. Once again, that number is 720-244-9701.
Common Sense Preparedness brought to you in part by PatriotMusic.com.
America is known the world over for its passion for freedom and individual rights. If you love your country as much as I do, and if you'd like to hear great music inspiring this passion, check out PatriotMusic.com. Download music from three great albums, including a new album just released, with a cover you won't forget. PatriotMusic.com.
Hi, this is Matt Fitzgibbons with PatriotMusic.com. You're listening to Common Sense Preparedness with Tim Howard.
The other day I was able to evaluate the Rush Moab 10 pack from 511 Tactical. And I must admit, I was very impressed with it. The first thing I noticed was how versatile the pack was. Now me, being a right-handed individual, could use it comfortably. And my wife, who is left-handed, can also use it comfortably with just making a few adjustments. This is because of the ambidextrous shoulder strap system that is built into the pack. This is a big plus because no matter who uses it, it will be comfortable for them. Just in case you have a long hike in front of you and during any type of bug out situation, you can expect a couple mile walk. The bag contains more than enough interior pouches to handle any of the equipment I had. And trust me, I loaded it up with my equipment and it was able to store everything I needed, plus some. I especially like the idea of the keychain fobs. This is an excellent way to store zip drives or an extra set of car keys that would be required during a home evacuation. I even found a pocket that 511 Tactical explains to be a comm pocket for radios with a pass-through for the microphone and the earbud. But I found it to be very useful to hold my cell phone and my MP3 player. I was able to hike while enjoying my music playing in my ears. Now, I don't recommend that you listen to the MP3 player during any emergency. But during your downtime, it'd be a great way to be able to listen to some music and still be within an arm's reach of your equipment. A new item I noticed was that the Moab 10 had a pocket for a water pack with slots built into the bag for the water spout. Now, this idea gives it a lot of extra points in my book. This eliminates the need for canteens on the belt or attached to the backpack and places the weight of the water squarely on your back and shoulders where it can be evenly distributed. As we all know, anything to equal out the weight is invaluable. In order to check the Moab 10's durability during a field test, I gave the bag to the person in my group who was the roughest on all equipment that we had, Ezra, my 5-year-old grandson. He dragged it, threw it around, and even used it as a seat. The good news here is that it survived. All I had to do was clean it up and remove all the pine cones and spent cartridges that we found everywhere on the ground out of the bag, and it was ready to be put back in service. If a 5-year-old can spend over an hour with the bag and it's not able to damage it, I believe it'd stand up to any type of disaster and still be usable. The only complaint I did find with the bag is the size of the web system on the outside of the bag. Now, the system is standard about 2 inches for each of the slots, with only one or two of the hooks being a little bit larger. Now, this size will accommodate most standard straps and equipment latches. I have a lot of pouches that are wider than the 2 inches, and that's because of my old correctional days. So, besides that, the web system was great. However, my military pouches and bags fit on the web system nicely. Overall, the versatility of the bag was one of the most impressive items I've seen in a while. Not only can you use the bag for a day trip with the family and be able to store all the necessary equipment you would need, but the bag can be used for a go bag and still have all the equipment in it that you'll need to survive a 3-day trek. Plus, another item of this bag, versatility, was that it can be opened and used while still slung over your shoulder, just swinging it in front of you. This way you can still retrieve your food items from the bag while still over your shoulder and you keep on trekking, without skipping a beat. Once all the testing was complete, I placed the Moab 10 bag into service as my family's go bag for the car. It contains all my emergency maps, zip and external hard drives, extra set of car keys, emergency radio, 5 solar blankets, emergency rations for 3 people, the water pack is full with extra water, N95 mask, pens, writing tablets, and a few bags of jerky and candy for myself. The outside of the bag has attached to it a med kit, buck knife, flashlight, and a fire starter kit. The MOAB 10, which stands for Mobile Operation Attachment Bag, is a great deal for $99.99 and can serve as a versatile emergency go bag and a family day pack. I know for myself, it'll see a lot of miles and it will be attached to my backpack the next emergency I have to respond to. For more information on this review and a link to purchase the item, visit us at csp.hesafety.org.
You're listening to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness, an American readiness program, right here on the Prepper Radio Network, KPRN-DB.
Common Sense Preparedness would like to announce our new Emergency Information Network is on our website. Here you'll find the latest news regarding food safety, emergency news, FEMA daily reports, medical alerts, solar weather alerts, and hurricane reports. Plus, you'll find links to outbreak databases, near-Earth objects, solar flares, and information from government and non-government outlets. Come join us at csp.hesafety.org and take a look at our new Emergency Information Network. Remember, a wise man prepares for darkness while a fool plays. Don't get caught playing. Listen to Common Sense Preparedness and American Readiness Program at csp.hesafety.org. Or follow us on Google Plus and Facebook.
Now let's talk about a little bit about our supply storage. We're going to get all this equipment. Now how are we going to store it? There are many ways to store your supplies. Military cans, 55-gallon drums, 5-gallon drums, etc. Let's take a look on how to pack and store these items in these containers. The good old 55-gallon drum containers. These drums are expensive. They run about $100 a piece. But they're very good storage vehicles for fuel and water resources. The 5-gallon buckets. This bucket is probably the most widely used item for storage because it's so versatile. It's a good storage container for food supplies, grains, emergency equipment. And when it is empty, it can be used as a toilet or reused to carry water and so on. Very versatile bucket. Highly suggest never throw away a 5-gallon bucket unless it's cracked and broken. Otherwise, you can use it to store stuff in. Now, your military-grade cans, they're called ammo cans. Besides being used for storage and easy to carry cans, they make a good Faraday cage. All you have to do is put it, line the inside with a non-metallic substance in order to separate whatever's inside from the metal container. Now, other locations throughout your home to where you can store stuff. You know, your home has a lot of spaces where you can store supplies. You just have to step back sometimes and take a look at it. And look at it outside the box. Closet doors. There's a storage space inside the door itself. You would have to cut one side of the door open so you can access it. And you can store small items like knives, ammo, dry food, packages, etc. This is good for a closet door because you'll have to place a larger-than-the-cut area piece of wood over the cut area. Now, if your access point is inside the closet, it will not be visible from the outside. However, it would be obvious that there's something inside that door once it's open. Crawl spaces. This is a great place to store your home caches and equipment. However, this is the area that's always be one of the first places people will check when they are searching your home. Here's a good one, nightstands. Under the nightstand, there's a space, maybe about 6 inches tall, but it's where you can hide items that will not be visible to anybody who just takes a casual look at the place. Dressers, just like nightstands, offer a valuable storage space underneath the dresser. Empty soup cans. The next time you have a soup, open it from the bottom of the can to empty the contents and leave the top intact. Rinse the can thoroughly, then use it to cover your stash of cash or ammunition or maybe spices, whatever you want to hide, inside your pantry. Stack a few cans on top of it, just like it was one of your old cans in the back, and it's less convenient for someone to pick it up out of curiosity. Now, your freezer. Now, this is a great place to store your emergency cash, as in money, in the freezer wrapped in aluminum foil. How about that one? Save a little styrofoam for the next pack of meat that you buy and cut it down to the size of a couple large steaks. Put your cash in a Ziploc bag, stick it in between two pieces of the used meat trays, and wrap it in aluminum foil. Pick a piece of masking tape and write on it, scraps for the dog, 522, whatever. People will not look at this, and if they open it, they'll see the styrofoam packaging and just leave it alone. Never investigate further on it. Another place to hide stuff is under heavy furniture. Under a piano, entertainment center, or anything weighing a couple hundred pounds or more. If you have a hand truck around the house, it's pretty easy just to lift up a corner of the piano or slide an envelope under it containing cash or your zip drives or anything like that. This way, if people are searching your home, they're not going to tip over your piano to go look for things. Fake plants. Bury in the soil of a fake plant. If you have a fake plant or a small tree in your home, wrap your supplies in a Ziploc bag and put it inside or on the bottom of your fake plant. Now, here's a real good one. Your children's toy boxes. If you can build a false bottom to it, this would be an area where you can store all kinds of stuff. Most people will take a look at your child's room and see all the toys, and they won't even bother going in there. To them, it's too much trouble to try and search it. So they'll leave it as is. Now, your home also has a lot of dead spaces to it. Dead spaces are all over your home. Now, if you're handy, this dead space can become very useful. First place you want to look at is your walls. There's a 16-inch center-to-center void in most of your home walls made up of 2x4s and sheetrock. Newer homes built in the last 30 to 40 years have sheetrock opposed to horsehair plaster. Sheetrock is much easier to cut out and make a false access panel. Now, this is a great place to hide long items like rifles and shotguns. And all you have to do is just make sure you have a string attached to it that won't come undone in order for you to pull it back out. Now, stairs. Underneath stairs is often a big void as big as the thread itself. Now, what I'm talking about here is not the staircase, but the stair itself. You usually got about 6 to 12 inches of dead space per stair, per step. This isn't always the case, so consider drilling a hole before you start thinking about ripping up the step itself. Now, staircases. Underneath many staircases, a closet of some kind meant to fill the big void the staircase creates. There's always additional voids that get boarded up because it's too low to the ground to be effective space for a closet. This is where you can store some of your supplies. Another area is your kitchen cabinets. On top of the kitchen cabinets are exposed, given plenty of space to lay things on top of it that are flat. In other cases, the tops of the cabinets meet sheetrock that meet the ceiling. This can be a big void. Cut a hole in the very top of the cabinet and put your stuff up there. Then seal the hole with a panel. The very bottom of cabinets have similar voids.
Thank you for tuning in to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness and American Readiness Program. You may be found at the web at csp.hesafety.org. Remember, a wise man prepares for the darkness while a fool plays. Don't get caught playing. Tune in to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness.
Just a little squirt. You learn the rules of defense. mind control is using both hands. Founders knew the Second Amendment was the final one to keep, to hold our other rights intact so we'd never become sheep. Stalin, Hitler, Mao, Amin, and Pol Pot, they told us things that you never forgot. You teach the lessons to your daughters and sons, to fear the government, to fear your guns. Now the new world order crew, well, they're making their demands. Don't feel safe if you are wrong. You say gun control is using both hands. Well, I prefer the 308 to the tiny 223. Gives me more than 1,000 yards to protect my family. Is using both hands.